how are we going to solve it right now? You know, what can we do in 4 months to take care of a $137 million problem?
I think we're fortunate that Governor Walker is not only, I think, embrace the idea that he wants to tackle a special session on job creation, but also has committed to a budget repair bill that I think will kind of get the process started and ultimately fold into what will be the state budget and the hole that exists there. We've already heard about some of the reforms that he plans on putting in that state budget to include the rework of the Department of Commerce, which I'm sure some people have heard a little bit about. And then beyond that, you know, there's going to be a discussion that's really already begun, I think, about budgeting practices and abandoning the idea that in the past it was okay to use segregated funds, one-time money, moving in and out, and specifically, what you just referred to is this new number that we see was created as a result of some of those bad budgeting practices. It's literally been discovered by the Audit Bureau that some of the numbers that were being used under Governor Doyle just weren't legit. And as a result of that, it has put a little bit more on Governor Walker's plate, but I think the legislature right now, my caucus is behind the governor and the moves that he's making. And ultimately, I think what you're going to see on February 22nd is a document that's going to include many of these reforms and changes and practices that are going to put the state on sound footing. Now, that doesn't mean that there aren't going to be a lot of feathers that are ruffled by this. There are. And we don't take it lightly in the legislature because, you know, it's the speaker and myself right now that we have to get the votes for these things. And you know, everyone in the room knows how diverse both geographically and philosophically the legislature can be, and it's not going to be an easy deal. And you know, we need the governor, we need the horsepower of the executive branch and the ins and outs of the legislature to make that happen. But we're going to get done. We're going to get it done.
Mm-hmm. Gentlemen?
Well, you know, let me first of all say I started off elected office as a county supervisor.
Yes.
Here in Dane County. And the very first committee that I chaired, I was on the Health and Human Needs Committee. And the subcommittee that I chaired right off the bat as a new legislator was, how is the county going to deal with reductions in state funding for human services? And so if you haven't created that committee in your counties, you probably should do it. Because all indications are is that is what is going to be confronting the counties. But we don't know for sure yet what's going to come in, because nothing's been put out in writing. It's just been speculation. But I would anticipate that you should be prepared for that. $137 million in the framework of a $60 billion budget is not that much, and it doesn't trigger an emergency at all. I mean, it doesn't meet the statutory requirement to have to do any kind of a budget repair and so forth. And as a result of the 2008 recession, when we really were scrambling to try to figure out how we were going to keep the state running. We did provide the governor with quite a bit of authority to be able to maneuver to keep the state finances and the key operations running. So the governor has those tools at his disposal.
$137 million. We might as well talk about the other big issue as well that Majority Leader mentioned. $3.6 billion. $137 million now, $3.6 billion starting July 1. That is a very big number.
Yeah, it is a big number, and it's something we've been seeing every cycle now, every 2 years. And I think it gets back to where we have to go, I think, as a state, as a legislature. This last election cycle, I think people spoke loud and clear what direction they wanted this state to head. Number one, they wanted to see people get put back to work, make us more competitive as a state. That, in turn, will grow your economy. Number two, they want us to get our fiscal house in order. And I can tell you, with all of us just facing re-election, it's not easy every 2 years coming back to this mess. And, you know, I would echo some of the comments that my brother, the majority leader, made. There have been failed policies on both sides of the aisles, Democrats and Republicans, when it's come to the state budget. But we're at the end of the road here. The rubber's got to meet the road here. We can't, there's no one-time gimmicks anymore. There's no more tricks, accounting tricks, that can be done. There's going to be some difficult decisions. We have no money. The credit cards are maxed out. The bank's not going to give you another loan. The state is facing what families across Wisconsin are facing. And these are going to be some difficult choices. The first thing I said to my caucus members when we came back with 60 members is, I believe for first-time members, I have 25 new freshmen and people that have served in the legislature, that this will be the most difficult session that you ever serve in. But I think it also can be the most rewarding, because I think it can put the state back on the right track. But, you know, Senator talked about cuts in services. There's going to be a lot of difficult choices to make here. It's not going to be easy. But the political will and the climate that is out there right now, people are expecting us to make bold moves. And from hearing from local governments throughout the state, you know, we're going to have to allow you to have the proper tools to be able to withstand what's coming here. And that's what I think, you know, the majority leader is referencing, having the tools and the reforms put in place so that we're not back in this mess 2 years from now. I'm sure you guys are tired of it. We're tired of it. You know, I've served in the legislature for 10 years. I've never seen a surplus. I've never even seen anything close to a surplus. The best number I've ever seen is $1.6 billion in the hole. So we have to take the proper steps to get this right, get it right now. We're not the only ones in this mess. States around the entire country are also in this mess, many much worse than we even are. But you're going to see, I think, some significant changes in how we budget and where we head from here. And that's what you're going to have to do, and put things in place to make us more competitive as a state. You know, we just got done with a series of 9 bills in this special session that are going to make Wisconsin more competitive, so that we can bring those businesses from Illinois over. You know, Illinois is going the other way. They're taxing further. They're raising income tax. They're raising taxes on business. We need to get aggressive, start recruiting those business, help increase that tax base, make us more competitive, grow ourselves out of these deficits that we've seen.
Representative, thoughts?
Well, let me say, you know, $3.6 billion is daunting. There's no question. Although last session we faced over a $6 billion deficit. And so the governor was right to call a special session on jobs to start the session, in my judgment, because there's no other single issue right now that is more dominating and more important for us to deal with. I mean, we're going to continue, despite all the best efforts that, you know, both parties might make in this session, but we're going to continue to have deficits until we put people back to work. With 9% unemployment, and not collecting those income taxes because people aren't working, and instead paying unemployment compensation, instead paying extra social services that all of you have to confront because you're on the front line, the only way out of this, in my judgment, in a significant manner, is to put people back to work. So, you know, we join with the governor, we agree there's an economic emergency because we know people are losing their businesses, people are losing their homes, people are losing hope. And the good news is that there's some positive signs on the horizon. I have friends that, you know, are sell durable goods, sell steel, and those sales are up now a little bit. We know private corporations are sitting on large amounts of cash that they've got to make decisions about where to invest that money. So while I agree with the speaker that, you know, I think making changes in the business climate is important, I also think, though, we can do much more to try to create jobs now, to try and come up with bills that have the opportunity to turn this around more quickly. We'll be meeting with the governor, the four of us, I guess, when we leave here. You know, we called for an economic summit. I think bring together the best minds, look at what steps we can take now. You know, there's bills that are out there, some of which I think have some promise, like trying to promote Wisconsin manufacturing around the country. Some states have had a positive impact with doing that. Some regions have had a positive impact with doing that. There's other kinds of ideas, but to me, the key is let's see if we can't come together on a bipartisan basis to put together an aggressive agenda that has a hope of putting people back to work in February, March, April, May. You know, while the governor's focus has been on improving the business climate, and rightfully so. I mean, I think that can have an impact over the course of the next 2, 3, 4 years. I think there's bills that we can put forward that can have an impact more immediately than what we've had so far. And that's the challenge, in my judgment, that we have before us. All of you are the ones that are on the front line. I mean, you're the ones that have to deal with, you know, with youth aids and the troubled youth and domestic problems that come out of people being unemployed for a long period of time. You're dealing with the great citizens that built this great state that are in nursing homes, many cases county nursing homes, that need home health care. And I hope we can stay true to protecting those types of programs, because we know the alternative of not protecting them is people's property taxes either going up or not being able to meet our obligations for the seniors or for people with disabilities and people that really need help immediately. We did our level best in this last budget when the deficit was twice as big, protect programs like youth aids and county aids. I personally helped lead the effort on the county nursing homes, which I think are very near and dear. I know in Kenosha County, we have one of the best in the state. And those programs are fundamentally important. So I hope as we move forward, and you know, the governor's a former county executive, so obviously, you know, you should have a little better boost than schools and cities. But I hope we can do everything we can to protect, you know, those kinds of services in this difficult time. But most importantly, we've got to put people back to work.